Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. And when you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. But don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I have sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Speak to us, O Lord, and show up. May we find your presence among us, and may we go and share with others
as this woman did that we've heard about in your gospel according to John. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remind you and me what the book of John was written for. It says that the book of John was written that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life and have life in His name. The Great Commission in the Gospel of John is, as the Father has sent me, I send you. That's pretty broad, isn't it? When Jesus said to the disciples, as the Father sent me, so I send you. I'm wondering if they thought, well, where are you sending us? Who to? What are we supposed to do? A lot of questions when we hear that Great Commission in John's Gospel. Sometimes we find our way. Sometimes we'll turn right when we should have turned left. Sometimes we turn left when we should have turned right. Sometimes we go back when we should go straight. But eventually we find our way. You know, sometimes God is met in the most interesting places, and it's not always in church. That pains me to say that. Sometimes it's not in Bible study. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we find God doing the most mundane things. Behind your computer. Feeding your dog. Washing the dishes. Working. God can show up at some of the most unexpected places and among so many unexpected people. Case in point, John's gospel with the woman at the well. Being in the ministry 35 years, I've preached this 34 times, and I often wonder, will I ever be able to preach a sermon where it will ever be fresh and new? And I think I have one today for you. I hope it's fresh. I hope it's new. I hope it gives you hope. I hope it enables you and me to see some things maybe we've never seen before, at least in this text. It says that it was noonday when this woman came to gather water. I often wondered what kind of woman this was. We find out that she's had five husbands, and the one that she's living with now is not her husband. And I think after a result of reading that, we preachers, have been very creative what kind of woman we have made her out to be. You know, it doesn't really matter. We preachers, we have a creative mind, and we'll make anybody out to anything we want just so that it helps make the sermon last 25 minutes or more. But I'm not too sure we've done this woman any justice. I don't know that we've been very fair to this woman, because nowhere in the text does it say she was a bad woman. The only reason we have made it out to be that she is a bad woman is how we have interpreted what we've read. There's no evidence there that she is a bad woman. It says that she was coming by noonday, which was the hottest part of the day. I wonder what drove her there. I wonder why she wasn't with the other women. Is it possible that she has ostracized herself, or the community had ostracized her? Or maybe each of them had ostracized each other? Maybe she didn't want to come during the time everybody came. Maybe she wanted some quiet time, private time. Maybe she wasn't feeling too good about herself. A lot of reasons happen to you and me when we want to be by ourselves. We don't always like to be around people. Sometimes we just like to have a little me, myself, and I time, you know? Maybe this woman needed a little me, myself, and I time. So she comes by herself. But then again, that may not be why she is there. For while she is there, she meets someone who is already there. You know, the Bible says that God sent Jesus into the world. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus is the one that initiates a conversation with a woman that the culture said a Jewish man should never initiate conversation with. That isn't only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And you and I are familiar by our disciple Bible studies that the Samaritans were people who had married outside their race. They were not Jews that had married Jews. They were not Israelites that married other Israelites. They were Jews that had married Moabites, Hittites, Jebusites, whatever other ites there is that's in the Bible. They have married them, and now they have become mixed in their marriage and race. You see, the Jewish people believed in being pure. You and I have read that scripture. Those who are pure in heart shall what? See God. It wasn't only to be pure, it was also in their clothes. If you go home tonight, or after church, I want you to pull off your clothes and I want you to look and see how many materials your clothes are made out of. And if they're made out of more than one material, you have gone against the Mosaic law. For you were not supposed to mix materials. It was only to be one type of material. You can't have polyester and wool. You can have wool or polyester, but you can't have polyester and wool. You've mixed two things together, which makes it impure. Jesus asks this woman for a drink, and she sees that this isn't something that's in the ordinary because it's taboo to do this. So she also says to Jesus, "What are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" They were both very courageous and engaging one another, but then nobody's around to hear. They can do it without anyone listening to them. I mean, that is, except God. And Jesus says to her, if you were to know who was speaking to you, you would ask him for a drink and he would give you a drink that you would never have to come back for again. And of course she, as Nicodemus, misunderstands, takes him literally and says, give me this water so that I do not have to come back. This is the first place in John's gospel where Jesus reveals to her a woman who he is. Notice who he says he is. He says to her, I am. She says that she believes in the Messiah. She believes the Messiah is coming. But who she's looking at, she doesn't know who he is. But he reveals himself to her. He says to her, the one who is talking to you, I am. And if you and I go back in the Hebrew scriptures, we know that when Moses answered that bush, and he said, who do I say sent me? That fire in that bush said, tell them what? Tell them, I am sent you. Notice that Jesus at Jacob's well. I ask you to go back to your disciple Bible study, disciple 1, and remember what happened there at Jacob's well. Do you remember? Isaac sent one of his slaves to Jacob's well for a woman to marry his son. Do you remember? His slave went there, and as he was waiting, he prayed to God and he said, I am praying that the woman who offers me a drink and my animals will be the woman who will marry my master's son. Remember? Rachel came by and what did she say? Would you like to have a drink? May I water your camels? And all of a sudden, he puts a ring in her nose. Doesn't that sound romantic? And then takes her back home with him. Notice, therefore, at Jacob's well, a relationship was made. In the Gospel of John, salvation is relationship. Belief is the first step to believing, but belief is not enough. The devil believes so much, the Bible says, that he shudders. But the reason that the devil remains a devil is that's all that happens, is just belief. Belief takes us to that next step, which is believing, which is putting trust in someone, which is creating a relationship that is ongoing. The Bible says that if you and I will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That confession of sin is ongoing. If you and I will continue to confess our sins, He will continue to forgive us our sins. That is a receiving and an asking that is ongoing. That's in the Gospel of John. Jesus then says to her, call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. She's being honest, truthful. And Jesus says to her, that's right, you've had 5 husbands. I think this is where we preachers and some theologians think there's something wrong with this woman. I think this is where we started getting creative. You know, is she some Elizabeth Taylor? Is she some Zsa Zsa Gabor? I mean, who is she? You know what I'm saying? But if you will think with me, there are many ways that a woman in the New Testament times could have found herself without a man. For remember, Moses said to them, "You can write them a certificate of divorce." For what? For anything. For example, you burn the beans, out you go. You don't keep a tidy enough house, out you go. You're barren, you can't give me kids, out you go. I want a son, all you've given me is daughters. And you and I know that the female is the one who determines the sex, right? No. What did they know in the New Testament, huh? Out you go. Think of all the things that this woman could be ousted for that five men may have ousted her for. And in the New Testament, if you were a woman, you had to find you a man or you made a living in a way that you would prefer not to. I ask you, if you found five men and each one of them kicked you out for whatever reason, maybe death, that's another reason. Death could be a reason. Some may have said she was a black widow. You know, we could have accused her of that. But there's other things that could have happened to her. And you know, after five times of experiencing whatever she experienced, to be kicked out and on her own, I can now understand why she would hook up with a man that she would say, "No, he's not my husband." And after having five, "No, thank you, I don't think I'll have another." I think I understand her. Oh, it doesn't justify it, I understand. But you know, there's times in my life, brothers and sisters, when things just don't work out in our life that you and me just sort of get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what I'm saying? We try and we try and we try and nothing seems to work. And we get really frustrated. And you know, we get on the verge of saying, "You know, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to quit." Instead of giving it up, we give up. And that's very easy to do. You and I may have done that a time or two. And then Jesus came to us and said, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on? Can we talk?" Jesus had a conversation with this woman and believed in her. So much so that when she left her water jar behind. And she went to her village and she said, "Come and meet a man that has told me everything about me. Would you like to come and meet a man that knows everything about you?" You know, I would come and meet a man that knew everything about me if he was a man filled with grace and mercy. I would even meet a man who knew everything about me if he could give me some constructive criticism, but he would have to believe in me. When I was at Chattanooga State Technical Community College, I had a professor by the name of Dr. Stephen Byram. He was the head of humanities there, and I had been taking a course and I wrote a paper. And when it came back to me, it looked like it had been under the cross of atonement. There wasn't much white space on it, but there was a lot of red space on it. And I went to Dr. Byram and I said, "Dr. Byram, I really need help with my paper." And in a kind and gentle voice, loving and caring voice, he said, "You know, Randall, there's a paragraph here in the paper that I really liked. If you could go back and you could write this paper again and talk to me more about what's in this paragraph, I believe you might be able to raise your grade." And I want you to know that I went home after hearing all that he said to me in the way he said it, and I worked twice as hard on that paper than I did the first time, because he did not belittle me. He did not shame me. He did not accuse me. He didn't use a lot of "yous" in his sentences. He was very gracious and kind and gentle. He made me want to do better. I think that's how Jesus approached this woman at the well. I don't know about you, but if you'll believe in me, I'll work really hard. I wonder if I believe in you. You work really hard. You see, if you believe in me, I will work very hard because I don't want to disappoint you. The woman went and said, come and meet a man that's told me everything about myself. Notice what she says next now. This could be the Christ. Is it? Notice what she said. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Christ? In other words, it was a question, not a statement. In other words, Jesus had stirred curiosity in her. She didn't know for sure, but she was entertaining the idea. And as a result of her testimony, many people went because of what she said to visit Jesus themselves. And after talking with him and visiting with him for 2 days, they believed. Not because of just what she said, but because they had come to Jesus themselves and had met them themselves and come to believe and found life in his name. Brothers and sisters, I think we as Christians, when we go out into our world and we witness and we want people to know about Jesus, I wonder if our life stirs curiosity in people. Or I wonder if we try to tell everybody about Jesus so that when they accept him, they already know everything about him, so there's really no curiosity. I remember when I was a mentor of some young clergy people coming into the ministry, I would set them down and I would try and tell them every mistake I ever made so that they wouldn't make any of them. Have you ever tried to teach people your mistakes so they wouldn't make them? Have you ever tried to teach people your mistakes so that you wouldn't ever make them? Did they listen to you? My preachers didn't either. When I shared this with my superintendent, he said to me, Randall, let me share something with you, my brother. You can't give people your experience. They have to experience it themselves. I ask you this morning, do you and I know Jesus Christ because someone has told us about him? Or do you and I know Jesus Christ today because we've met him? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to live a life that creates curiosity. That when we forgive someone, someone must say, what's that about? When we love unconditionally, someone would say, now, where did they get that from? That we would show them the Christ that lives within us, that it would stir curiosity in those that do not know you, O Lord, that they would come to know you. That is the life we crave and thirst to live. Give us that living water this day so that we may live that life and create a thirst in others that they may come and drink of that living water and find eternal life in the only name that there is to find eternal life in. And that name is Jesus. And it's in his name that we offer this prayer and this last hymn. We pray to you, O Lord, O Rock of Ages, cleft for me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.